Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And for the next few weeks, I started last week and this week and next week, all I'm going to be doing is talking about delicious food. I'm not going to be bringing up any sensitive topics about what we're doing in the environment or what's happening with the animals or what's happening in with our health. No. That's for later. Right now, it's just celebration. We're in a holiday period, and there's lots of great, delicious things to talk about. I have with me in the studio Nava Atlas, who is both an author and illustrator of many well-known vegetarian and vegan cookbooks, including Vegan Express, Vegan Soups, The Vegetarian Family Cookbook, and The Vegetarian Five-Ingredient Gourmet. Her first book was Vegetariana, now considered a classic in its field. Nava is also a visual artist specializing in limited edition artist books and text-driven objects and installations. Her work has been shown nationally in museums, galleries, and alternative art spaces and is part of many museum and university collections. Learn more about Nava at vegkitchen.com and navaatlasart.com. She has two grown sons and lives in the Hudson Valley region here in New York with her husband. And today we're going to be talking a lot about Vegan Holiday Kitchen, her newest cookbook. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Okay, so we're sitting here and I'm looking at this gorgeous cookbook. It's a combination of some of my favorite colors. It's a very autumn feeling with the rusts and golds. And well, you're an artist. And I always think that food not only should be healthy and delicious, but it should be beautiful, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I've always looked at food as an art medium. I think that if it looks good, chances are it's going to taste really good.
Absolutely. And the great thing about plant foods is we have a huge palette of colors.
And the foods that are the most colorful are usually the most nutritious, too.
Yeah, you know, nature knew what she was doing.
That's right. She wanted us to be attracted to the right kind of food.
Right. Okay, so holiday times are really stressful. I mean, it's supposed to be a time of joy and celebration, and then everybody, like, freaks out because there are gifts to buy and so many things, and you're with family, and that can be a good thing or not such a good thing. There's a lot of stress, but there's a lot of parties and a lot of food. And you put together a great collection, 200 recipes in this book, to touch not only the current holidays, but all year long.
Okay, well, when you talked about the colors, kind of autumnal colors, it's because the publisher wisely chose to launch this book close to Thanksgiving. So we have the squashes on the covers, and the spine reflects some of the reds and yellows in that. So from Thanksgiving, we go to the all-important Christmas and that holiday season. I have the Jewish holidays, which include Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, and Passover. That's another real biggie when it comes to food. From there we have Easter. I have a whole section for the summer on grilling.
Mm.
That's sort of a little bit of a hole in the vegan repertoire, is just having one really good resource for all the delicious things you can do on the grill that don't include meat. Let's see.
Oh, that is important, because so many people, when you think about grilling, you think about slapping that raw piece of flesh on the barbecue, right?
That's probably how it started, but now it's evolved to, you know, you can make so many wonderful things on the grill, including pizza, and it's so delicious, grilled pizza, so wonderful. And I have a catch-all chapter, which will also be useful during this holiday season, on potlucks, brunches, and appetizers.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. How did you get so smart about vegan food?
Oh, a lot of experience. I mean, thanks for the compliment, but I've been a vegetarian since high school. I've been a vegan I'm entering my 10th year now.
Hmm.
So it was just something where, as I grew up, I had a natural aversion to meat. So I was lucky. I mean, I didn't have any rhyme or reason for it. I just didn't like looking at it on my plate.
A lot of kids have aversion to meat.
Yeah, and then their parents say, yes, but you must take that mm-hmm. one bite. It was me. It was like if there was a vegetable on my plate that wasn't overcooked, I was in heaven. So when I was about 17, I 16, I told my mother that I wanted to cook for myself. She was
wow.
fine because she didn't think it would last. I said, I want to be a vegetarian. And they, you know, kind of laughed and said, let's see how long that lasts. Well, I started to go to health food stores. I just got my driver's license. And back then it was all, the health food stores were not like Whole Foods are today
mm-hmm.
or Trader Joe's. They were literally these dusty stores that mainly had brown rice, lentils, and probably a lot of expired vitamins. It wasn't that appealing, but I just loved it. I really took to it, and then everybody wanted what I was having. I then, you know, involved myself with a lot of very veg-friendly boyfriends, and when I got married, my husband was just thrilled to become a vegetarian. He had wanted to, but he's not a cook, and he's the one who actually inspired me to write my first cookbook, Vegetariana, that you mentioned before. I would just concoct things, and he said, you have to write this down so you can make this again. And I did, and after a while I decided to combine my recipes with my visual art. I'm an illustrator, graphic designer, and I put together this very quirky book at the time where there weren't a billion vegetarian cookbooks out
mm-hmm.
there. So that set me on a path that I didn't expect quite in my life, but it's been a wonderful day job. I've met a lot of incredible people.
Yeah,
like
it's a community.
It is a community. And I guess when everything migrated online, that's when I really sensed what a wonderful community the vegetarian and now the vegan world are.
So you said you went vegan about 10 years ago, and
yes.
you did this with your family?
Just like I was the first vegetarian in my family, and I was the youngest, my youngest son
mm-hmm.
Was the first vegan, and I
oh,
was
wow.
so proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
We had taken a field trip to a dairy farm that was beyond organic, so I thought, well, you know, maybe if I buy my dairy locally, we'll feel better about
mm-hmm.
it. So the farmer, with great pride, showed us around, and I won't go into great details here, but we were all kind of in our own private world, and just maybe a couple days later, he came home from camp with an uneaten rice cheese sandwich. He thought it was cheese. And I said, why didn't you eat your sandwich? He said, because now I'm a vegan.
Mm.
And so like a typical Jewish mother, I said, well, couldn't you have become a vegan after lunch? And besides, this isn't really cheese. So he set the pace for us. I guess we were all thinking about it to certain degrees, but we thought, you know, if a 10-year-old can do this, surely we all can.
It's funny because I became a vegetarian first. I went through that progression of eliminating red meat and chicken and then fish and dairy and eggs. And if I was going to do it all again with everything I know, dairy would be first and everything. But we've learned a lot along the way. And the whole vegetarian thing, okay, I'm encouraging people to reduce any amount of animals that they're eating. It's great for their health and it's great for the planet. But I'm an all-or-nothing kind of person. Now looking back on my whole vegetarian period, it's just not here or there, especially when I think about milk and all the things it's connected to. You know, I don't want to get down. This is the happy holiday show. I don't want to talk about all of that stuff.
I know what you're saying, though. It's something that we saw when we were at that, on that farm tour. But I hear you, and there's a wonderful book, though. I think it's called Whitewash, about the dairy
industry. Yeah, and it's coming out as a documentary.
Oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm. I'm very
yeah.
excited. That's a yeah. great book. I talked to Dr. Who wrote that? Whitewash.
Oh, I don't know the name.
Gosh, I talked to him on this show. It was great. I learned so much. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about milk. And so if you're listening out there and you're still loving your cheese and dairy, well, we're not going to knock it today. But we're going to give you a lot of recipes in this great book to
Thank
distract you.
You. Oh, by the way, I was going to say, when people talk to me, say, I really could be a vegan, but I would miss cheese. I said, try Daya. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing. You know, if you melt it on a pizza, it's been a while since I ate cheese, but I think that if you didn't tell somebody, it would be indistinguishable.
They would know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I haven't had cheese in a long time. I'm glad Daya is out there. I'm personally not a fan of it. I like making my own nut cheeses, and I saw you have some recipes for nut cheese in the
book. Right,
I
have a couple of recipes for homemade type cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
I would say someone shouldn't make them and think they're going to taste exactly like
right.
dairy cheese, but they have really wonderful flavor in and of themselves, and I have a couple options in there for doing them with agar, which gels them, and you can actually cut them into slices.
Right.
And they're really a lot of fun.
They are fun. We make big batches of them and make chunks and put them in the freezer, and then they're ready for whenever we want.
Oh, I bet you can grate them when they're frozen.
They grate better when they're frozen, yeah.
Yeah, but that brings us to a point, a really important point about holidays and feasting. We do want things that are somewhat familiar. There's something about holidays that makes you want to kind of go back to the past and relive, hopefully, the happier memories. There's a lot of those sense memories that are involved with food. So what I tried to do with this book is to draw from traditions, but then add something new to them. Like eggnog becomes vegnog, and instead of using eggs, you use cashew butter, and it gives you that rich, creamy mouthfeel, and it's a lot healthier.
Praise cashews. They are the most amazing thing. I've got a new romance thing going on with cashews. I don't know, but ever since people have been making cashew creams and cashew butters, it's just an amazing dairy replacement.
It is.
It's phenomenal.
Well, I was going to say, I think that also becoming vegan, actually, it expanded my repertoire rather than contracted. And people also, there's this misconception of all the things you can't have. Well, you discover so many things that you didn't bother to look into or didn't have because you want to expand your repertoire. You really want to go a little bit further afield with the flavors and textures and colors.
Something I keep telling people, this is one of my ongoing messages over and over and over, and that is get back into the kitchen, find the kitchen, and start working it, because it's so important to make our own food for so many reasons. Sure, going out to a restaurant and having prepared food is fine, but I think for the most part, if we really want to eat as healthfully as possible, we really need to be making our own food, or at least make it so that you know what's in it so that you can be a little more savvy about ordering when you're in a restaurant. And you talk in your book about holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas where people do tend to make some of their own food for these big celebrations. And I was thinking about that when I read it, because even now, more and more, especially in Manhattan, people are ordering all of that food from restaurants and caterers and Whole Foods. You know, you can buy a whole dinner already made. And
we need to be making our own food.
So,
you know, being in and around Manhattan, that might skew kind of how you see it, because I think once you get out of New York City, there is a lot more, for the holidays at least, as this is a time to cook. So I did choose what I call the staying home and cook holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I know people who have ordered, let's say, some of the tofurkey, and people ask me, well, how do you feel about those? Should we talk about that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, because that's something that comes up over and over. People want to know, well, how do I feel about the kind of the fake tofu turkeys, or they're not just tofu, I guess they have other things in them, but it's an easy way to identify them. And I say, well, first of all, it's better than the real thing.
Absolutely.
But the other thing is that, again, I go back to the fact that people want something familiar, something that they have really good associations with. It might have tasted good to them at one point, but they just don't want to buy into that anymore. They don't want to participate in, you know, what goes on with turkey manufacturing, but they do want that sense of familiarity. So I say, well, you know what? It's made out of tofu, sometimes gluten. It's stuffed with grains. Once a year, it really can't be bad. If that's what you want, put it on your table.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to judge. I'd rather stuff a squash, but I also understand why people want to recreate. And also, who am I to judge? I'm making a kind of a matzo ball soup that very much recalls my mother's chicken soup with matzo balls, but there's something about it. And when I first got the photo of it from Susan Voisin, who was a wonderful photographer of this book, both my husband and I looked at that photo, and we both immediately thought of our moms and our mom's soup.
Yeah, it looks like the real
right,
thing.
It does. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're a culture, we're a species that's continually evolving, and so we take some things from our past and we just make things better. So with this tofurkey thing or the tofu turkeys, when I was a kid, my mom likes to say this a lot, when we would go out to restaurants, I would frequently order turkey, and sometimes I would say in a very mature voice, turkey's been good this year. because I really liked it. And for a long time on my vegetarian to vegan path, I was into the meat analogs and the meat substitutes. Some of the Chinese restaurants have incredible meat substitutes that are scary in their taste and texture and so similar to meat. And for a long time, I liked making... I never made a big faux turkey on the table for Thanksgiving, but I would make a plate of maybe some turkey deli slices and some seitan or something that looked like giblets and made a gravy and put mashed potatoes underneath because it was a great memory for me. But now I've moved on. I'm not into those meat analogs as much. It's a personal choice, but I don't care. You know, as long as it's plant-based, go for it.
You know, it's probably not the healthiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's high in salt and so on. But, you know, my sons have never tasted meat, ever.
Wow.
But they like, they love the meat substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing to compare to. They must taste good if they like them so much, because they both have good palates, but they like the heartiness of them.
And the chew, the texture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The meatiness.
The meatiness, exactly. They enjoy them quite a bit, and they do enjoy those kind of restaurants that have the meat substitutes. Again, they're not comparing it to anything. They're not trying to recreate something. They like them in and of themselves.
Okay, I want to back up. So your children were raised as vegetarians.
Yes. And if I knew what I knew today, I would never have given them milk. But, you know, the Internet has really opened our eyes to so many things.
Right. Well, still, how was it raising kids as vegetarians? Because this was, what, 20 years ago or so?
There was a lot less information, and it was great because we're lucky. We were all on the same plate. And I told them when they were little, because I think children don't get the message that this was an animal. So they get used to something. They start liking it. Then it's hard to give it up. We said, well, we just don't want to eat animals. So I also told them, if you want to try it, because I wanted this to come from their own heart, if you want to try it, if we're out somewhere, if you're curious, that's okay. They would look at us like we'd lost our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're telling me this was an animal, and now you're saying that I can try it if I want to. So they were never tempted. Not for a second.
It's just interesting when you give a child who knows so much naturally.
Yes.
If you gear them on a path that I think is natural versus what most children are geared to today, which is boxed sugary cereals and sodas and all kinds of junk. And when you feed children whole natural plant foods and people are looking at you like, you're so extreme.
Right. And it's interesting, many of the terms we use for meat dishes are euphemisms. We don't say, okay, we're having cow for dinner or a bull for dinner or a pig. There are names for things, you know, pig, bacon or hamburger. So I think that a lot of children probably don't even make the association.
No, they don't.
And they're just used to the taste. And, you know, maybe for a lot of people it does taste good. As a child, for some reason, I didn't think so, but I'm sure that a lot of people find it quite delicious.
Okay, so let's jump in and talk about some of your favorites in here.
Well, one of the dishes that has made a big splash for the holiday season, if I can find it, is the shepherd's pie.
Oh, I love that. It's such a great comfort food.
It's a great comfort
food. People love mashed potatoes, anything
exactly.
With mashed potatoes.
And I'm almost there, I believe. In the photograph of it, too, it's just so... There it is.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
You know, kind of like the golden potatoes on top. And the filling is lentil and mushroom. And so that has a real heartiness to it. And a lot of people have made it. A lot of people have blogged about it. Some people have let... I have it on my website, Veg Kitchen, also, and people write about the variations they've done with it. It seems like a very flexible recipe.
Well, it's hearty, it's filling, it's got that mashed potato thing that everyone loves, and it's not difficult to make.
Not at all. I mean, this probably has one of the longer lists of
ingredients.
There's
more than five ingredients.
Right, but it's still... my recipes really tend towards the simple, and I'm flipping the page, and I do like this recipe a lot also. It's called black rice with corn and cranberries, and it almost has a kind of a Christmassy look to it.
Oh, I wanted to, there are two things I wanted to mention here. One is I don't normally add fruits with my savory foods, and every time I have them, I love them and think, why don't I put fruit in with my savory food? So you have the cranberries in here, which is great, and then you have a roasted root vegetable dish with apples in it.
Oh, yes, yes. I really like adding little bits
just
of fruit.
Little.
Just
yeah.
a little.
Love it.
A bit contrast. It's really nice. It's a surprise every time
right.
you bite into
and
it.
And the other thing about all the 200 recipes that are in here, this is not a complicated book. These are all beautiful looking because the colors are so lovely, but they're simple dishes to make, simple, satisfying.
They are simple. I don't have time for complicated dishes. I mean, I, like everybody else, I write cookbooks, but I pretty much get into the kitchen at 6 or 6:30, and I want something doable. Of course, for holidays, we are willing and able to put a little bit more effort into it, but, you know, at heart, I'm a fairly lazy cook, and I want things that are straightforward and where the ingredients look like the ingredients, and there's not been a lot of manipulation.
Okay, there's a lot of partying going on, lots of different kinds of parties, and one important party food is appetizers. And we don't see a lot of veg appetizers out there, but you have some in the book.
Yes, we don't, and I thought that, now that's another gap to fill, just like the grilling section.
Mm-hmm.
And so I very much enjoyed coming up with ideas for appetizers, and I have two appetizer sections in the book. One is in the Christmas chapter, where I have a proposed holiday appetizer buffet. Of course, nothing is set in stone, but it's
mm-hmm.
kind of an array of very different things. I have sweet and spiced pecans, which is really almost a no-brainer to make, garlic and rosemary roasted mushrooms.
Mm.
This is something I really enjoyed, kale and carrot strudel. Puff pastry is not the kind of thing you want to eat every day, but if you can eat it, if you're not gluten-free,
mm-hmm.
it just dresses everything up.
Oh, gosh.
So
yeah.
yummy. And this is what we were talking about before. It's called creamy cracked pepper cheese, with cheese, C-H-E-E-Z, and then a hot artichoke and white bean spread.
Oh.
And that one seems also to be popular among people who have food blogs. People
mm-hmm.
have talked about that. And
let's praise the white bean for a minute.
Yes, let's do that.
You've got it in some soup recipes, wild mushroom soup.
Yes.
White beans are amazing. Okay, they're inexpensive, and they're nutritious, but you puree them up, and it's like an instant smooth creaminess that you can add to anything.
It is the cashew of the bean world. It's so versatile, and again, there's something about it that's very comforting. It acts as a backdrop. It's substantial and hearty, and there's just so many ways you can flavor
yeah.
it and dress
it
up.
And it's not high in fat. Although fat from whole food sources is good, and we need fat.
Oh,
but
beans have almost no fat, though. Yeah.
Well, we could have a little fat debate here. But
yeah, right. I'm for a little fat, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, no, I think fat from whole sources,
yes.
like raw nuts and seeds, avocado, maybe some coconut, they're all good. I'm not big on the oils, but whole fats are really important. And we only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk about your new book, which is coming out after this one, about greens, and my lead in here is with fat, because when we're eating dark green vegetables, which have a lot of fat soluble nutrients in them, we need a little fat in order to absorb those nutrients in the greens, so we've got to have our fat.
Well, a lot of the greens recipes that I came up with have just a smidgen of olive oil,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I'm also not big on adding lots of oils to foods, but there's just something very satisfying about a tiny bit of oil added to veggies, like
mm-hmm.
when you roast them
mm-hmm.
in the oven. You need a little bit of that fat to bring out those sweet flavors and to make them crispy around the edges.
Yeah. So did you want to mention anything else in this book, or can we talk a little bit about your green book that's coming up?
You know, I just wanted to quickly mention toward the end, too, that there's a big list of easy appetizers, and I just like the idea for holidays of having an appetizer and dessert buffet. Skip the dinner.
Really? Yeah. I mean, people love that. All that finger food and desserts.
Yeah, and there, I guess a lot of people are getting into what's called green cocktails now. How fun is that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about that, but, you know, I can imagine it would be huge fun with these easy appetizers.
Right. Well, we just had a bunch of juices, and you had a great one, beet and pineapple. And
beet, pineapple, carrot. There may have been a little bit of apple, but, wow, that was almost, like eating ice cream.
I would order that in a bar.
Just put a shot of vodka in it.
Okay, so... I love the picture for this, the Olive Bar medley with tofu feta. That's really beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. And again, that's it can't get easier than that. You take the tofu, you slice it up, you squeeze as much of the water out of it, you marinate it in lemon juice and a little bit of olive oil and oregano, and I tell you, it tastes a lot like feta. And
yeah.
You combine it with an array of olives and maybe bell peppers that you find in the Olive Bar at your supermarket. You've got a kind of a fancy appetizer that takes almost no time to make.
Really good. So you've got a greens book coming out, and I just wondered, what was the motivation to do a book all about greens?
Because there isn't one, and people are really into it these days. You know, everybody loves kale. I always say kale is the new broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
People are just, it's almost addictive because it makes you feel so good.
Well, there's so much science behind greens, and I know, I really believe greens saved my life. There's so many immune system boosting nutrients in dark leafy green vegetables. So important. I'm glad. I can't wait to see the book. We just did at my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, a new food show called It's All About Greens, and we made 4 dishes with kale, steamed kale, a kale salad, a kale smoothie, and a green juice with kale. And I want to see more kale out there, more everywhere.
Kale, collards, the Chinese greens. Mustard greens, I have to say, was the most pleasant surprise for me because I hadn't worked with them much before.
Yeah.
And they are great. They're really great combined with something mild like spinach, which I understand is done quite a bit in Indian cuisine.
Right.
So, yeah, people get greens. They basically saute them in olive oil and garlic, and that's wonderful. But there are so many things to do with them. So I wanted to explore it more for myself. And the fact that, again, it's a kind of a gap on the market. And I thought, well, I'd like to fill it.
Right. I'm hoping to see more green varieties in supermarkets. When I go to Chinese markets, because we have Chinatown in Manhattan and a Chinatown in Queens, and you see these piles of different kinds of greens. I don't even know what they are. You know, we know more about bok choy, but there's tat soy and all these other choys, and they all have subtle different flavors, and we should have them all the time.
Well, I got into those a bit as an introduction because, again, most people don't have access to them, but I did want to introduce them a little bit. And for my market research, I actually did go down to Chinatown a couple times, and I said, well, what is this? And I, of course, I couldn't understand what the vendor was saying, so I thought, well, I'll figure it out. I'll take a picture of it and try to match it to something on the Internet. But, the versatility of these greens is just amazing, raw, cooked, braised, sautéed, stir-fried. I discovered, too, that in older books about greens, they always suggest to boil collard greens for 20 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
And then save what they call the pot liquor. I said, what is this? 1910? The best way to do collards is to cut them into really, really fine ribbons and stir-fry them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just delicious.
Really good. Well, one of the things that I like to talk about greens, especially around the holiday time, is people are going to be eating a lot of treats, a lot of rich foods, and all that's fine for a celebration, not for everyday food, but you've got to have those greens because they come in and they clean everything out. They don't only provide healthy cell-boosting nutrition, but they help detox, too.
Well, we all need more greens in our lives, and I hope to provide an easy way to do that. The book is going to be called Wild About Greens. My editor came up with that title,
great.
And I thought it was great.
Yes, well, I'm wild about greens. Well, Nava, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food, and I was so excited. I saw your vegan holiday kitchen in Macy's last week.
You're the one who told me.
I did. Yeah,
I was
very
excited about that.
So I hope you sell so many of these books because everybody needs a vegan holiday cookbook.
Thank you. That was a real clue that vegan has gone mainstream.
Yeah. VegKitchen.com, right?
Yes.
And there's hundreds of recipes, gazillion recipes.
By me and others. Others from the vegan community.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. We'll be back in a minute with more delicious food.